This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 17th, 2016, the eighth Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I rejoice in my sufferings for your sakes. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I rejoice in my sufferings. Rejoicing in sufferings. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through St. Paul. And he speaks through saints that we may have them for our examples. And he talks about rejoicing in sufferings. It's kind of interesting to look at him saying that and to look at the history of our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church and understand this whole idea of rejoicing in sufferings. And before I get into that, this is not a homily of specificities. Oh, if this happens this, or if this happens, I want to address the concept of suffering for our own sakes and for the sake of others, because that is part and parcel of your faith. It is truly unfortunate that recently, a lot of things have become very man-centered as far as our religion goes. It was not that way up to very recently in the grand scheme of things. Everything was centered upon God. Everything was centered upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything was centered upon the sufferings that hit, and then what we did in union with him as far as sufferings go. But when I talk about sufferings, I don't mean the high-end dying and getting very sick and getting injured kind of things. I'm talking about the everyday annoyance kind of things, which are sufferings. The gospel today, Martha, she's all bent out of shape. Lord, you know, my sister's not doing anything. I'm doing everything. Come on, Lord. What does Jesus do? Martha, you're troubled about many things. She's chosen the better part. She's listened to what I've got to say. Now, let's just all go about our business. Going about our business, and our business is, unfortunately, I can't stand up here very rarely can I say, always, never. This is always going to happen. This will never happen. Check this one out. This is one of those few times. Unless you are an infant, you have suffered in some way, shape, or form in this world. And I do mean the high-end things. Most people in here have suffered the loss of a loved one. Many people in here have suffered some tremendous physical problems. Everybody in here, if you've been real lucky and avoided all that other stuff I just mentioned, you at least endure the day-to-day mundane sufferings, the annoyances of life. They are all sufferings, every single one of them, from dying, which guess what? We're all going to do that one, should the Lord tarry, to this everyday annoyance stuff. Kids, jobs, parents, it depends on what side of the fence you're sitting on that one. Everything, little annoyances. They are for our benefit if you apply them correctly. That's the concept I want to talk about today. And not only are we supposed to, oh yeah, deal with them. No, the Holy Spirit says, rejoice. St. Paul says, I rejoice in my sufferings. I rejoice in the annoyances. You know, and this is coming from St. Paul. What has St. Paul suffered? Being stoned till when they thought he was dead and they left him. He's been beaten, shipwrecked three times. He's got all kind of stuff going. And he says, I rejoice in that stuff. Not to mention the just average everyday people not doing what he says, people turning their backs on him, all this kind of stuff. He rejoices in those sufferings for your sake, speaking to the Colossians. He says after he talks about rejoicing in sufferings, he starts to lay the foundation for the concept. He says, in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Pay attention to that. In my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's affliction. What? How's it? Jesus is perfect. Everything that Jesus ever did was perfect. There's nothing lacking in what Jesus... Paul's not talking about what Jesus did. Paul is talking about what he is doing and what he expects from us. When he says, I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, that is actually... The best translation of that, as far as the concept goes, is the Jerusalem Bible, not the New Jerusalem Bible. The New Jerusalem Bible is problematic, to say the least. The old one, just the straight-up Jerusalem Bible, which you can still get a copy of that, I would suggest it. It translates it this way. In my flesh, I complete all that has still to be undergone. Let's not walk away from this thinking that for one moment that Jesus hasn't undergone everything that is necessary for our salvation. He absolutely did. Perfectly. Nothing else needs to be added to the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. But his objective sacrifice was for the sins of every soul that has ever existed, exists, or will ever exist on the face of this planet. Everyone, for the sins of the whole world. So, if he died for the sins of the whole world and everything's perfect, how come, contrary to what you hear all the time anymore, contrary to what our Lord says, how come our Lord says some things like, many are called, but few are chosen? How come our Lord says, many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, and I will say, I never knew you. If you use Jesus' stats, more people are going to hell than going to heaven, which, as I said, is a stark contrast to where you hear nowadays, and what, you know, they even questioned if there is such a thing as hell, because God never put anybody there, contrary to what Jesus says. All right? His sacrifice was perfect for the whole world. So why are people going to hell? Because they don't apply his sacrifice to their lives. They don't embrace him in faith and obedience. They don't go to the Father through him. That's why. It's about application of that perfect sacrifice of Christ. That's what Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about us applying that to our own lives and to others. It cannot be. You know, we love to talk about Jesus Christ, the head of the church. It's inconceivable that the head could suffer alone and not the body. I mean, that doesn't even fly in our lives day to day. The head suffering and not the body. Oh, I got a real bad headache, but I think I'm going to go and do this and do that instead of, you got a bad headache. What do? You drag your whole body to bed and you lay down. If the head suffers, the body's going to suffer. It's ridiculous to think it's any other way. That's what Paul's talking about. We love to hear about sharing in Christ's glory. Everybody loves that part. If you're going to share in his glory, you're going to share in his sufferings. Because that's why he got his glory. Because of his passion, death, and resurrection. Same with us. That's how we're going to get it. Our suffering, death, and ultimate resurrection in Christ Jesus. If you expect to share in his glory, you must expect to share in his sufferings. That is the striving that we have to endure for our faith. Your faith is not an easy believism. Your faith is not, I go to Mass on Sunday morning and then whatever until next Sunday morning. It's a striving for your faith. I want to listen to this stuff. I want to feel good when I leave from church. I want to hear about suffering. This is actually a manifestation of God's love for us. It's actually a tremendous manifestation of our intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We love to hear about the union that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is where it comes to the fore. This is where it becomes real, our union with Him. If He suffered, we must suffer. We should just contemplate His sufferings and be brought low. We should appreciate so much His sufferings for us. I mean, it shouldn't be a foreign concept for us. Even in this world, we share the sufferings of those who are close to us. Husband, wives, parents, kids, very good friends. A marriage. Can you imagine? Husband sitting with nose in the computer, in a newspaper or something. And the wife comes in, I lost my job today. Yeah, whatever. Huh? My mom died. Yeah, okay. What? No, you share in their sufferings. That's a no-brainer. See how far that would go if you approached a marriage like that. You know, parents and kids. You know, I celebrate Mass at Nemours Children's Hospital. That must be horrible. Those little kids, they're so sick. You know, I actually thought that when I started going down there. And you're around the little kids, and yeah, they are very sick. They deal with it. Their parents are basket cases. And rightfully so. The parents suffer more than the kids. Our union with our spouse or our kids is not as close as it should be with us and our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we suffer for people in this world, when our hearts are broken because something happens to our spouse or to one of our kids, how much more should we our heart break when we consider what our Lord has done for us and what He expects us to continue to do for Him? It's the theological argument, as St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Alphonsus Liguori talk about, the objective sacrifice versus the subjective sacrifice. Christ died for our sins. He died to establish the reign of the kingdom of God in this world. And when we understand that He did that, He did it objectively and perfectly. The subjective sacrifice is what we do in association with that. When I use the term subjective, I don't mean what your opinion is about it. I mean, how do you apply it to your life? How do you engage with the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ? The application for both our own wants and needs and for those of others. That's what St. Paul's talking about in this reading right here. Yeah, when you suffer, you do good things for yourself. Because we learn a whole lot more through when we're uncomfortable than we do when things are comfortable. That's just the way it is. That's just our makeup. We don't have a tendency to learn well when everything's going right. Because when everything's going right, we take everything for granted. It's those times when things get bad. And like I said, run the gamut. Day-to-day nonsense, humiliations, whatever. If we associate those and apply those things, they are for the expiation of our sins in this world. Christ died for my sins. Yes, He did. Now He expects you to apply that sacrifice to yourselves. St. Paul says in that reading, if we didn't remember, you, He has now reconciled by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless. We all love that part. We all love that part about being reconciled by Christ's death, and He's going to present us holy and blameless. We would love in our humanity to throw a period at the end of that and just leave it at that. It goes on. He says, provided that you continue in the faith. provided you continue in the faith. And our faith is a faith that has always taught us that we must put ourselves out for our Lord Jesus Christ. That we do indeed need to suffer. Like I said, let's jump tracks from that real bad stuff that we always like to talk about. Dying and getting sick. Think about the other thing. Again, the mundane things, the things that happen all the time. When we apply those things, those little annoyances, if we apply them correctly, we are expiating little by little those things that we continue to do in this life. Our faith is a faith where, guess what? Not only are you supposed to deal with life's little this, that, and the other thing, you're actually supposed to bring it on yourself. That's where we get words and ideas like fasting, where we get ideas of like corporal works of mercy, corporal penances. Well, we don't do that anymore. Yeah, it's quite obvious. You should. You're supposed to. Don't fall in that trap. We are supposed to engage in the sufferings of Christ. And guess what? When God doesn't think you're engaging enough in the sufferings of Christ, He'll let you have some that you didn't expect. We have a tendency to suffer for Christ as long as it's within our comfort parameters. Yeah, I give this up and I give that up. Well, every now and then He's going to dump on you. Every now and then it might just be a little tug of the rug where you just kind of lose your balance for a second. Other times He's going to jack that thing right out from under you. You're going to fall flat on your face because that's when you learn best. St. Paul uses the analogy of military stuff and sports a lot to talk about our faith. A good sport with this, but you go to the weight room, you go to the gym, you can lift weights all day, and then there's that last part of the last part of the workout where you're just supposed to strain and your partner's sitting there, come on, get it up, and you can't get it up. And you're straining and all the blood vessels are bursting out, you know, and he helps you up a little bit. That last little part does better for you than the whole rest of the day. That last little part, when you put forth that effort, that last little effort is those bad sufferings. The whole rest of the workout is the average, everyday stuff. That is for you when you apply it to yourself. When you associate those things with the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, He will bring you closer to Him. And let's not be selfish about this. It's also for others. Hence the first line that we read today, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. You know, it was the Apostle Paul who was beaten. It was the Apostle Paul who was stoned. And he said he rejoices in that stuff for your sakes. Because when you see how he suffered, it will teach you to suffer appropriately when things happen to you, whether they be small or great sufferings. As I said before, Jesus Christ suffered and died to establish the reign of God in this world. And He did it perfectly. And then He did something. He established His church. He instituted His body in this world, which is the church. So He suffered and died to establish the reign of God, and He still does. He's up in heaven making intercession for us, that He expects us to carry on His work. And what was His work? Suffering and dying for others. He expects us to do the same thing. St. John Paul II says, speaking of suffering, it is suffering more than anything else which clears the way for the grace which transforms human souls. That's why a whole lot of souls are not being transformed in our day and age. They're not being transformed because they're told that they shouldn't have to suffer anything. When our religion becomes centered on man as opposed to God, or even, well, it's not centered on man, there's still God there, we're just bringing man up a little bit. We shouldn't. We should know our place before our Lord Jesus Christ. We should know that we need Him. We should know that we are supposed to suffer for Him. We should know our relation, where we stand with Him. I was sitting here yesterday up in my office, and I'm I'm working on this. And I was like, okay, how do I tie this all up in? You know, I want to make this point about how we need to know who we are before God, that we're not too good to suffer. Because if he suffered for us, then we must suffer. But a lot of people don't know that in this day and age. And I'm sitting at my desk trying to figure out how an example or an illustration to use this. And my desk is here, and Mr. McCain, our seminarian's desk, is over there. I hadn't even mentioned a word to it. It's how the Holy Spirit works. He gets up and he goes, hey, you got to hear this. He does that just to annoy me on occasion, as which many of our parishioners do. They send me emails and stuff about things going on just to annoy me. He comes walking in the office. He says, you got to read this one. This is great. And he starts reading me this. It was a letter that some woman wrote to some Catholic publication. And obviously she's Catholic in name only. Never opened the Bible before, but she's Catholic in some way, shape, or she wouldn't have written this in. Her deal was that the Pope, this was addressed to the Pope needs to do this. He needs to take out the most disgusting part of the Mass. Because if he took out this one part, this disgusting part of the Mass, then everything would be okay in the world. And the part of the Mass was when we say, Lord, I am not worthy. That's horrendous, according to Christine. Christine, who has obviously never opened this Bible, Christine, who doesn't care that she looks stupid in front of everybody who ever has, you know, and she's going to publicly proclaim, that's not very charitable. No, but true. Truth trumps charity. If you're charitable to people, you will tell them the truth. And she said something stupid. She bad-mouthed, Lord, I am not worthy. You know, you would think that she would have opened the Bible at least and gone to that, or maybe she probably doesn't even know it comes from the Bible. I just conjecture on that part. I always say when I conjecture. You would think that she would open the Bible and go to the part where it says, Lord, I am not worthy, and see what's going on. That's a Gentile centurion, a Gentile soldier who wants our Lord Jesus Christ to heal his servant. And the Lord says, fine. I'll come heal your servant. Lord, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Say the word only and my servant will be healed. Jesus Christ does not respond, but what's wrong with you? You're pathetic. If you have that mentality, if you're that self-denigrating, then you're going to denigrate others and that's why the world's going to be a problem. You are worthy of me coming in your... No, that's not the response of our Lord. Our Lord looks at him and actually he looks at his apostles and goes, I have not found such faith in Israel. This guy gets it. He's not worthy that I come under his roof. Christine doesn't get that. Christine thinks that she's okay. Christine doesn't need to suffer. Christine doesn't need to have her pride shaken in any way, shape, or form. That's Christine's problem. And guess what? Our churches are packed full of Christines. Want to come here, hear something nice, bold. Preferably before anybody else leaves. Then you get up, caught up in traffic. All right? Our churches are full of people like that. They don't get it. Because when you get that, when you get the fact that you are not worthy for him to come under your roof, when you get that, then you start to understand the fact that you need to strive and engage in your faith. You need to engage with his sufferings. The only way you can do that is suffering yourself. No matter what it is, high end or low end. We need to be able to say the words that St. Paul says at the end of that reading today. And that is that it is Jesus Christ that we proclaim, warning every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man mature in Christ. For this I toil, striving with all energy, which he mightily inspires within me. If you are close, or if you are where you should be in your relationship with Christ, he should inspire you. And what does he inspire, according to the Holy Spirit? He inspires you to toil and strive. In the Father, and in the Son, and in the Holy Ghost.